Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Give me the flats of dawn, with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, you got it, I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
And if you were paying attention on Facebook this evening, you would know that Chip is taking the night off. I am going to be the host of the Thursday night show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. I am typically the host of the Monday night kickoff show, joined with Mr. Alan Ryland. Unfortunately, I don't have Mr. Alan Ryland at my disposal this evening. He is mending in the hospital. So, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with our good friend Alan as they try and figure out what's going on with him. But in other news, man, it's been an interesting week so far. I'll tell you, the fishing reports I'm getting in from the Central Florida area have been pretty cool. Lots of interesting reports of some species that probably shouldn't normally be around here that are being caught, as in permit and bonefish as well. We got some folks that are down in the Keys enjoying mini season, catching up some lobsters and whatnot. Got another buddy of mine who's mending in the hospital, or was, from a little bit of decompression sickness or the bends. I hope he's going to be doing just fine, I hope. One of my neighbors here at the Levi household. So, yeah, crazy stuff. Permit on the Space Coast, bonefish on the Space Coast. Pretty crazy. So, anyhow, I noticed in the chat room there we've got LGB, a couple of guests, Wade Hollowell, the engineer, Mr. Randy English, Sun Jammers, of course, and Mr. Tommy Head Jigs. A couple of guests that are in there, if you guys want to log in and chit-chat there in the chat room, you can do so using either your Facebook account or your Twitter account. Just log in with either one of those, and you'll be good to go. So, let's see, a couple of things I want to get to, like I normally do on my Monday night show, real quick. Folks, there's a tournament that's going to be going on down here in Central Florida. I know most of the Chips listeners tend to be Georgia and all up and down the Eastern Seaboard, actually all over the world, it seems like. So, but if you guys just so happen to be in and around Central Florida on, I believe, the tournament date, as I pull it up, is September the 14th. 2013, of course. That tournament will be held over at Kayaks by Bow. It is the Help Keep Emily in Her School tournament, the HelpEmilyNow.org event. Emily is the daughter of some really good friends of ours here at Kayak Fishing Radio and some participants in this past boondoggle that we did. She's got some serious therapy expenses that go along with having the special needs that she has. So as a father again of a special needs child, I feel their pain. And this is a great event to help raise money to keep her in the school that she needs to attend, where she gets the proper help that she so desperately needs and desires. So contact us if you have any questions over at Kayaks by Bo, or you can go to the website helpemilynow.org. We'll get you to the site. There's a little tournament page there. You want to read a little bit about Emily's story, you can do that. There's a spot on there for you to donate if you want to donate. If you're out there and you're listening and you own a manufacturing company or some sort of a business in which you think you might would like to donate some sort of prizes to this event, please feel free to do so. You can contact the family again through the website there. So it's a great event. Last year raised a bunch of money, and hopefully we're going to go above and beyond what we did last year. So we'll see. It should be a lot of fun. The event will go on rain or shine. There's raffle prizes and silent auction items and all kinds of fun stuff. So we'll do it up proper at Kayaks by Bo this year. It'll be a lot of fun. And then, of course, following that event here on the Space Coast, November the 9th. Yep, November the 9th is the, what is it? The 2013 Cars Park Fall Redfish Classic. Sorry about that. That'll be held over at the No Motor Zone in the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge. If you guys are not familiar with Cars Park or the No Motor Zone, Cars Park was the home of our last boondoggle, where we had over 300 people join us there. Fishing in the No Motor Zone as of late has been nothing short of extraordinary. It's been just the best I think I've seen it in years. So this event stands to be one of the best local tournaments that you could possibly be a part of. Alan Rylan, my co-host there on the Monday Night Show, put this one together. He put together the Troutzilla tournament a couple months back, which was another great tournament. We've got some awesome sponsors have already lined up for this tournament. We've got Yak Gear, RCI Optics, Local Lines Charters, Local Lines Guide Service, my bad, Alex, Red Zone Apparel, Fishtail Artwork, Hook'em Charters, just a whole bunch. Of course, Kayaks by Bo. There's a whole bunch of folks who have stepped up for that. So feel free if you want to find out more information about that, or hit up on the Facebook page there. 2013 Cars Park Fall Redfish Classic is the actual page name. It's an event. So feel free to share that with your friends and come and hang out and fish against some of the best red fishermen in the Central Florida area. And it's going to be a good turnout for sure. And what else? Oh, one more thing that's pressing. We need everybody's support. I'm so happy that Chip gave me an opportunity to talk to his listeners tonight, because he gets a few more listeners than the rest of us. So we're trying to stop the use of the Shiloh track, which is out in the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge. We're trying to stop the use of it as a commercial spaceport. We've started a petition online at the whitehouse.gov, and I'll put the link up in the chat room for it now. If you have any questions about it, you want to help out and sign this petition for us to kind of help keep the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge as just that, a national wildlife refuge, and not allow it to turn into another Kennedy Space Center type area. Please do so. The area where they want to put the this particular space launch facility is on the west side of State Road 3, which would cause the rockets to fly directly over the Mosquito Lagoon. So if we should have a rocket failure, then you can pretty much kiss the beautiful Mosquito Lagoon bye. So that's important to us. If anybody can do that, man, that would be awesome. Let's see if I can get my little cursor thing here to let me do that. I don't know if it kept it or not. No, I don't know. Oh, well. I'll try to bring it up again a little bit later on. But hit me up on Facebook if you want to sign that petition. Definitely would appreciate it. So, tonight, about an hour ago, Chip said, will you do my show for me? I said, sure, man, no problem. And so here I am, and I'm going to try and pull something out. Let's see. One of the things I wanted to talk about on my show, I was planning on talking about on my show, was the use of motherships and how that seems to be a growing trend as of late. Lots of guys looking to do mothership trips on charter boats, looking to get their buddies to take them out in the ocean or just run them to a flat far away from wherever they're accustomed to going. And so I venture to say that some people don't consider using a kayak itself as a mothership, where you would use the kayak to get you to a spot to where you can then stake it out, get out and wade. I know most of us do here on the Space Coast, especially, but you know, in the chat room there, if you guys don't mind a little participation by show of words, do any of you guys use your kayaks to get you from point A to point B, get out and then walk? I'll tell you, I had a encounter with a rather large lizard last week. So that just kind of reaffirms the fact that I need to keep myself in my Hobie Pro Angler and not get out and try walking around. So, but you know, it's a valuable tool, and wading is a valuable tool when the fish are a little bit skittish, especially over here. We have a hard time sometimes getting them to bite. So it can be a little challenging at times. I'll tell you, it's when you get out of the kayak, even though the kayak is really, really stealthy, the foot patrol, man, can really save the day for you. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. I'm going to hit a real quick commercial spot, if you will. And then once we come back, I'm going to take this caller who's on the line, and we'll start talking a little bit about maybe wade fishing. Stand by.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
Fantastic. And, of course, folks, if you haven't been to a boondoggle, you don't know what you're missing. They're a lot of fun, and they keep growing bigger and bigger. This next one, we're going to be up in Brad's neck of the woods up there by Sunjammers, just north of him. So come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun over at Big Lagoon State Park. Hopefully there'll be some fish to be caught. Hopefully the weather will cooperate as well. Just west of you. My bad. That's right, because it's all the way up there in the top of the state. Section C, that's right, man. It seems like all the Space Coast guys are heading over to Section C. What happened to Alan? Alan had a little bit of an episode at work, got a little dizzy, so rather than taking any chances, he went to the hospital to get checked out. So he's getting tested, see what all's going on. Hopefully everything is good on his end. But so this caller that I was going to take is your typical Thursday night host. We see if we can get Chip if he stays active here. What's going on, bud?
Dude, we're like running the mothership.
Where are you at?
We're passing Alpha Centauri on the mothership. No, we're like 20 miles outside of Chattanooga. Colin and I are headed up to Camp Perry in Fort Clinton, Ohio for the civilian marksmanship program we're going to be shooting this weekend in competition. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome, man. About well, what's that?
I hope he doesn't shoot me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that would be good. If the clone didn't shoot you, that would definitely... That's awesome. That's awesome. You guys going to try and fish while you're up there at all?
No. We've got... The game plan is we start 07 on Saturday morning at the range. We shoot all day Saturday. And then Sunday morning, we go back out, shoot the morning, and then the competition is Sunday afternoon. Monday, we're going out to Cedar Point, and we're going to ride roller coasters until I puke.
Nice, roller coaster. So if you make sure that the lap belts work properly before you take off.
Yeah. I'm gonna make sure that works. I'm gonna eat lots of junk food too, so when I puke, I got something to be proud of.
Lots of cotton candy and snow cones.
Yeah, colorful stuff, you know. Maybe some chunky stuff too, man. Yeah.
Yeah, popcorn and cotton candy and snow cones. That's always a good mixture.
Is that a good mixture? All right. I'll make sure that happens. So.
Cool.
So what
cool.
was your encounter with the big lizard, man?
Oh, I was in the no motor zone, and I was coming back from the north end, and I was sitting down on a cooler push pole in the pro angler around, and I went to stick the push pole down in the mud, and just as I went to do it, I looked down, and there was about a 10-foot gator laying there on the bottom, and I just about poked him in the eyeball with the pointy end of my push pole. I stopped myself about probably 8 inches shy of tapping him on the head, and he never moved, didn't flinch, and but I was pretty sure I needed to change my drawers afterwards.
It wasn't like your previous adventure with the lizard where it chased you into the back of your truck?
No, it wasn't like that. I mean, that one was I screamed like a girl and I admitted it, but this one, in my mind, it was more like. That's what my mind was telling me to do. I just had no clue what was going on at that point. And I mean, I think Wade was out there with us. He's in the chat room, and I must have talked about that lizard for about an hour. Man, it just freaked me out.
Well, that's all right.
yeah,
how's
it was.
The fishing down there been?
What's that?
How's the fishing been?
Oh, the fishing down here has been on fire. It's been great. What's interesting is we're kind of in the middle of two seasons, and things are kind of strange in the local area as far as what the redfish are doing. And one minute you'll see them up in the shallow water belly crawling, eating crustaceans. The next minute you'll see them out in deeper water chasing mullet. So they're kind of gorging themselves, if you will, on pretty much whatever kind of diet they want. So it's pretty cool. Lots of slot size reds, bunch of big fish too cruising around. The trout population has exploded. The snook are coming back. The tarpon are everywhere. I've gotten a couple different reports from some folks fishing some areas down south of me. They're finding permit on tide flow, and then they're also a guy in Merritt Island today caught a little small bonefish in the Banana River. So
wow.
Yeah, things are getting interesting around here. I don't know if it's global warming or what's going on, but hey, if global warming leads to bonefish and permit in the river, then I'm all for it.
Hey, speaking of fishing reports, Matt Trucks, our own Jack Chung there, has told me that we'll probably see the Kayak Fishing Radio app call in for fishing reports go live next week. So
very cool.
Yeah, so very folks will be able to call, and we'll post the number next week when it's ready to go, and folks will be able to call in and give about, you know, a 1-minute, 2-minute spiel on where they're at and what they're catching, that kind of thing, and then maybe you know, if they've got an event or something, like a How event or something like that, they can post that up. And then Matt's got his little studio set up there, and he'll transfer it all to MP3s, and it'll be pushed out onto the live stream, and it'll be put on a loop, so folks can just pick up the app and see what's going on. And we'll, hopefully, if everybody gets their fishing reports in by Wednesday, then he'll have them all up and rolling, so, you know, Thursday morning, you'll be able to hear what folks have caught, and, you know, all through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you'll be able to listen to fishing reports from all across the country.
Awesome, man. I'm looking forward to that for sure. It's been a while coming for that. I know you guys have been working on that pretty hard over the last couple of months, so it'll be cool to see that when it's all done.
Yeah, it's just a little trick to get it off a phone or off of Skype and then onto an MP3 so that we can put it out onto the stream. So hopefully that'll work out, and we'll have that up and running, Matt tells me, by Thursday of next week. So.
Very cool. Very cool. And I'm actually... for my show on Monday nights, I've actually gotten quite a listener presence as far as guys wanting to give us reports too. So, you know,
cool.
I'll make sure to direct them to that avenue as well. But I've got Derek Burgess over in the West Coast that wants to give us some reports. We've got a couple other guys here on the Space Coast that have messaged me and asked if they can do reports and stuff. So, I leave it open at whoever wants to call, man, whoever wants to call the show or any of our shows for that matter. I mean, if anybody wants to be a guest to call in and give us a little bit of a fishing report, it's always welcomed. And, you know, it helps us out. So we don't have to talk for an hour and a half straight or an hour straight. And, but it helps, the local fishing community as well.
Awesome. And hey, we're inside of 80 days into the boondock, man.
I know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy, and I'm already trying to work my game plan. I'm already trying to figure out what tackle I need to bring. I'm already trying to sort that all out in my head, and you know, I'm going to rely heavily on Mr. Andrew Mixon to kind of point me in the right direction for the species in which I wish to kill while I'm up there.
I don't know. I can't see the chat room because I'm driving. I don't have a computer. We're just on the phone here tonight. But is Chris Johnson in the chat room there from Pensacola?
I don't think so. No, we got LGB. We've got two guests. We got Randy English. We have Brad from Sunjammers, and we've got T. Morris and Tommy Head.
Cool. Well, from what I understand, Chris Johnson is. Pass the word that it looks like we're going to have a October snapper season while we're there for the boondock. So some of the red snappers might fall prey to the Sunday afternoon of fish fry.
Hey man, I don't discriminate when it comes to killing fish. I'll say, Brad just said October 1st for about 21 days is when it opens.
Yeah. All right, so that is 11th to the 14th is the boondoggle, so...
Right in the middle.
Be right in the middle of it, catching some Gulf Red Snapper for the Sunday afternoon potluck, right?
Hopefully. And, Brad, maybe if you don't mind, maybe you'll throw it up there. Are you allowed to keep trigger fish, and are trigger fish going to be a possibility in that same region where you're catching your red snappers? Because... I personally would rather eat a trigger fish than a red snapper. It's just one of my favorites, but I will definitely kill my legal red snapper.
I think I saw from FWC that they were going to open the trigger season back up.
I hope so. I love trigger fishing. And you know what? It's funny about trigger fish is I see a lot of guys who are now doing videos over in the Gulf Coast. And they'll like show underwater footage of like red snappers and kingfish and all this stuff. And then you always see triggerfish somewhere in the video, but you never see them catching the triggerfish and like holding them up and excited about the triggerfish. Like I don't know what the bag limit is over there, but over here there's no bag limit on triggerfish. So
yeah.
I literally kill as many of them as I possibly can.
Oh, man, the triggerfish hoagie is awesome.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, I killed, in one trip, I killed 43 triggers on my own, catching them two and three at a time. So, and they were all giant.
How do you rig up for triggers?
Trigger fish is two per person. All right, that'll work. Over there. So, how do I rig for trigger fish?
Yeah.
Oh, I use, a stretch of about, 60 pound monofilament. I tie, a dropper loop down at the bottom for a bank sinker. And then I, about a foot and a half, 2 foot above that bank sinker, I tie a loop. And then about a foot and a half above that one, I tie another loop. And then, depending upon how good the bite is, above that, I'll tie another loop. And then attached to those loops, let's see, hold on 1 second. Gulf, harvest close started June and runs through July 31st with the first day opening. Okay, cool. And then I'll attach to those loops, I'll put a owner live bait style hook, an SSW, I think it is, style hook, in a 4-0. And then I just tip it with a 4-0, and I tip it with a piece of squid, whether it just be a little piece of the wing, or even just the head itself. I usually cut a standard squid, which is, you know, maybe about 6 to 8 inches long, with the frozen ones, you know, you get in a box. I usually cut those in about 5 pieces to use for triggers. And I found that one of the keys to catching trigger fish when you're on a spot and you're getting covered up in like grunts and sea bass and things like that, lizard fish, is when you drop your bait down to the bottom, give the reel a good 5 or 10 cranks to get it way up off the bottom. So this way here, the trigger fish will come up and take the bait because they don't care if they swim away from the reef, as you know, unlike the lizard fish and the smaller fish like your sea bass that might get gobbled up by a big old grouper. So Brad says his rig is a 3-ounce Carolina rig, 20-pound fluorocarbon, and a 2-0 hook and a strip of squid. So yeah, I mean they both work just fine. And over here, I don't know about over there. I haven't done much Gulf fishing. I haven't done any Gulf fishing up in the Panhandle, but over here we got a lot of tide to deal with. So sometimes I'm dropping 8 to 12 ounces of lead to fish for them. So, but I use a big old 4-0, man. I mean, it works. It sticks them.
I use when we would do it. When we go for trigger, we set up a similar rig as yours using a pyramid or a bank sinker. And I found in a Gulf, the most I ever needed was about 2 to 3 ounces. And, but I found that, like, a number one circle hook with one of those, that fish bites, the little white ones that look with the squid trip, and they can't get that crap off of the hook, man. So,
yeah, the things are awesome.
So, but yeah, a little one, the number one circle hook, like an owner, and that way there, they just hook themselves. And actually, I've had triggers though bite through a number one hook, so maybe something a little bit heavier. But I never tried a big 4-0.
The reason why I use the 4-0s over here is because we get big B liners, we get vermilions, what's your B liners? We get lane snappers, mangrove snappers. So, you know, there's occasions where you drop down your squid rig hoping to catch, you know, one or two trigger fish, and next thing you know, up pops 2 8-pound mangrove snappers or, you know, 2 20-pound red snappers. So you just, you know,
throw those things back, right?
Yeah, well, the red snappers for us, yeah. Except for the end of August, they're going to open up a little mini weekend season for red snappers over here. And I'm working on the mothership deal to get the kayaks out there, do some filming, killing rare and endangered red snappers.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, you know, our reef fishing over here obviously is quite a bit different than it is over there. We're not We're not talking about eyesight to the beach. You know, we can't do that here in the Space Coast. We have to go at least about 12 to 15 miles before we find decent bottom. And, you know, normally about 20 miles to where you start to get into the bigger fish. And but it's not something you typically do out of the kayak. But, man, it's a lot of fun when you get out there and start pulling big fish over the side.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and I also talking to some of the guys up there in the panhandle, it seems that we may have a pretty good inshore fishery that time of year, too. That we may have a flounder run going on, maybe some redfish and trout to be caught as well. So there'll be a little something for everybody, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, the Big Lagoon State Park there, if you check it out on a map, do a little map study, you'll see that just on the south end of the point there where the kayak launch is, a huge grass bed right there, so I would expect to see reds and trout and all that right up in there. Probably some flounder, just kind of a little sandy mouth to a creek that runs down through there. Also, just off to the other side, I mean, it's only probably, you know, because it's in a sheltered area, it's on the intercoastal, probably just about less than a mile paddle takes you over to the side right out on Gulf Shore Park. The National Park, and then the beach is right on the other side of that. So, I mean, there's sandy bottom, there's grass beds, good flow. See on the other side, you're on the beach, you know, and if the weather holds for us, looks good, I think we're going to have a good, it might be the best fishing boondoggle we've had yet.
Yeah, that would not hurt my feelings one bit, sir.
We do not guarantee good fishing at Boondoggle. That's probably something that we should make, you know, a clarification on right there. So
yeah, it should be a little asterisk.
It's a great time at Boondoggle, but I think the only time we really had was like, well, the first one was good. We came down and met up with you guys down at the lagoon there, and we slayed some redfish that day. So, that was a good one.
Hey, I did good down in Chokoloskee, man. I mean, that one day, I think I ended up with over 20 mangrove snappers, a couple of snook, a couple of reds. So, I caught a bunch of fish down there in Chokoloskee for sure. But, yeah, the last few have been a little lackluster. But then again, the weather's been kind of crummy at both of them. So, you know, it's no fault of our own. We can't judge that. But, Brad just put up a link in the chat room about the Hobie Writers event. There's a little video in there, and I noticed that on the front of the video, Morgan sitting there in a kayak catching a big old redfish. I hope that maybe next year I might get invited to that Hobie Writers event now that I'm all, you know, hooked up with Hobie as a regional guy. That would be cool, Brad. Wink, wink. Hook a brother up. But
yeah, we didn't get a chance. Visit with Brad there. We went down to Panama City and hung out with Stan and Holly over the 4th of July weekend, but 14 inches of rain and we didn't make it to Brad's, but I think Brad got, I don't know if he's got all the water out of his storeroom yet.
Yeah, obviously I'm only invited because they use my boat. It's funny. Yeah, I'll have to get with Frank or somebody from Hobie and see if I can't maybe make that happen. That looks like a good time had by all. But, yeah, Stan and Holly, man. I just talked to Holly the other day on the phone, and they're in love with having sun jammers right there by them. And what's awesome is me and Jess may or may not be taking a little mini vacation and driving over to see Stan and Holly, so I'll have to pop in over there and say hi to Brad and the folks over at Sunjammers.
That's right. Anytime anyone is in the area, they need to stop in there and visit Sunjammers and say hi to Brad and let them know that they heard him on the Kayak Fishing Radio.
Yeah, I need to go in there and get a sticker too for my boat so I can keep looking like a NASCAR driver.
That's right. He needs to start now collecting stickers for us for the next Adventure Fishing World Championship.
Ah, yes. Very good.
Which, I don't, have, ready.
Have they announced the dates or have they announced the location for that yet, Chip? Do you know?
Last time we mentioned it to Woody, I believe we're still going to go back down to Chokoloski to Everglades City. I think that's the. I think they're going to keep the location the same, but I don't think it'll probably. Hopefully, it'll be just shortly after the next boondoggle. So.
Cool. Cool. So
I anticipate it to be in March.
Right. Yeah. Well, hopefully, hopefully the fishing will be as good as it was down there when we were down there last time, at least for the free fishing anyway for us. But I'm excited about doing it this time in a pedal boat as opposed to paddling 38 miles in 2 days. I'd much rather kick 38 miles in 2 days, I think. So, but I will not be bringing down the pro angler for that event. I will be borrowing a Revo more than likely. So
that would
make life easier. Oh, yeah, it would make life a lot easier. Are you kidding me? That Revolution 13 is a rocket ship, man. That thing is fast. So let's see. A PA is just as fast. Well, the PA is just as fast, but it's kind of cumbersome, especially for down there, though. I mean, my only drawback is that if I have to paddle it through the mangroves on a low tide, I think I'd rather, you know, paddle the Revo, you know. I don't know, just guessing. I mean, obviously comfort would be much nicer to be in the PA, but I think that when we start going across the top of oyster beds and everything else, I think I'd rather use the Revo for that, yeah. So, but anyhow, let's real quick. I'm going to talk a little bit about this bait run that we're starting to see. I got some really good reports of guys down around the Sebastian area, down around Vero, they're starting to see giant wads of bait, mullet, pinfish, pogies, all off the beach. They're all starting to make their way, so it should be, knock on wood, it should be a really, really good bait year. So we're going to start seeing more and more bait pods off the beaches, which will bring the tarpon closer and closer. Should bring us some nice kingfish action as well. We should be able to get on some big cobias as well. Hopefully they'll still be hanging around. Also too around Port Canaveral, maybe the big flounder will start moving in a little bit closer to the mouth of the port. There we get out and get some doormats and some giant triple tail. That's something that I absolutely love to catch is big triple tail. And, usually when the bait shows up, those triple tail will be on the buoys. And for us up here, it's nothing to catch triple tail in the 20 pound range. So, even maybe getting a couple of shots at some fish over 30. So, big giant triple tail, inside again, obviously the redfish are going nuts. So are the trout. The snook bite's been pretty good for those that are targeting snook. There's been an awful lot of small bull sharks and small reef sharks that have been hanging out in the intercoastal around the inlets and all the way up into the Mosquito Lagoon as well. So it's been pretty exciting out there. Plenty of bait to be had if you want to try and chunk bait for giant reds. There's been quite a few schools of ladyfish popping up here and there. Just tons of mullet, as I said, so that's always cool. The other day, I got information about some giant tarpon that have been in rolling around in Hall River Canal, slurping up pass crabs at night. So if anybody wants to get out there and try and get crazy with it, feel free to try that. Dip net yourself a couple of crabs and then just drift them around wherever you see those big tarpon rolling. See if you can't hook one of those beasts. But 100-pound tarpon in Hall River Canal, while it sounds like it would be a lot of fun, would probably end very, very quickly. So just keep that in mind. And then also, too, keep in mind safety when you're out there in Hall River. Make sure you've got your lights on and everything else you need to have. Port Canaveral's been pretty good. I've been getting some really good reports of guys catching some fish out there in the port. Some mangrove snappers are still hanging around. Giant Jack Crevel. Sheephead, a few flounder, a few redfish, So, you know, again, the rules in Port Canaveral at night differ than anywhere else in Florida, it seems, as far as lighting is concerned in your kayak. You have to have a 360-degree light if you plan on night fishing in Port Canaveral. The headlamp doesn't work. A glow stick doesn't work. A flashlight doesn't work. The port police have put in place a little law, at least on their books, that if you don't have a 360-degree light, you need to get off the water at night. And it doesn't make sense to try and argue with them, because you are in a very bad spot when you start arguing with the guys from the port police. So take that warning and go with it. I watched some of our guys get knocked off the. What's that?
Everybody needs a lamp from our buddy Luther at Yak Attack.
Yeah. The Yak Attack Carbon Visipro is a good choice, and then also too, over at Yak Gear, there's a couple of lighting options as well. There's what's out there on the market, of course, and 360 degree lights, you can make them if you want to, rather than buying them, but you can make them. And after all, we are a sport of tinkerers, so you can definitely do that. And then just make sure that you're legal. Make sure you're safe. Wear your PFD all the time when you're on the water at night. Don't just keep it behind your seat, because if you get hit by a boat and sink to the bottom, it's going to be nasty when they find you a couple days later. So at least recovery will be a little bit easier if you get your life jacket on you. I'll tell you, for the longest time, I always kept my vest behind my seat or wrapped around my seat, and I didn't wear it in the summertime because it's just too stinking hot down here. But now that I'm with Hobie, I don't really have much of a choice. They pretty much tell us that we have to wear our vests at all times. So I got one of the inflatable Hobie vests, and I'll tell you what, I don't even notice that it's even on. Super lightweight. It's comfortable to wear. And if I need to pull a little cord, I can do so. So it's nice. But try and invest in something like that if you're hesitant to want to wear your vest all the time. I know that Pepe, our good friend Pepe Vidal down here, wears the fanny pack style PFD as opposed to wearing a shoulder harness style. So that's his choice, and he's allowed to do that. And so, that's what I was wearing for a while as well. But definitely safety is important, man. And another thing I need to bring up, and I always bring it up on my show, and I don't think it gets talked enough about on any of our shows or in any of the forums, is the guys that are leaving the beaches, whether you're on the Gulf Coast or you're up along the Atlantic or you're over in the Pacific Coast. You got to have a float plan. You got to have a plan of attack for the day so that you know exactly what you're going to do, where you're supposed to go, when you're going to come home. Make sure somebody on land that knows where you're going. The approximate time that you're going to be out. If you end up staying out a little bit later, call somebody, text somebody, let them know. We've lost a couple of kayakers over here on the East Coast over the last couple of years that went out by themselves and their boats showed up, but they never did. So you definitely want to make sure that at least somebody knows where you can be. It's all fun and games to go out and catch a giant fish or have an epic day of just catching solid fish and want to come home and tell the stories, but if you don't make it back, then what good was it? It's worthless. So I never leave the beach unless I've got a set of flares, waterproof VHF, a handheld GPS, which is also waterproof, along with my phone that's in a waterproof case that also has a GPS on it, an air horn. Of course, you got to have a whistle anyway, but a whistle is pretty much pointless when you're out past the breakers. All of those types of safety equipment, and including, here's something people don't usually think about, an anchor. So if you should, for whatever reason, be exhausted, you can't make it back, or you should break your Mirage drive or your Propel drive, or you lose your paddle or whatever, throw an anchor off the side of the boat and hold yourself in one position. Give the Coast Guard your GPS coordinates, at least this way here. You're not constantly drifting away from where they're trying to find you. These are all things that we do when we're in our boats, our actual power boats. So it's it's almost second nature that you should want to do it in a kayak. I mean, especially on the ocean in a kayak. So definitely something to think about there. But, you know, I just got off the off of texting back and forth with my buddy Chris Flores. Most of you guys know who Chris Flores is. He's Production Chris, as he goes by here on the chat rooms for our radio shows. Chris is down in Panama right now. He's down there filming a TV show for a couple of days, and he sent me back a picture of what it looks like looking off his balcony, and it's a beautiful protected bay. The sun was up nice and high today, apparently. Wow. I think Chip's getting pulled over. Anyhow, I'll go back to Chip in just a few minutes. But he's down here in Panama. The sun was bright, looked really nice. The water's absolutely crystal clear. There's a reef that's just off the beach. You can see it in the picture, and there's a few speckled islands around. In fact, he's on an island just outside of Panama. And, yeah, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. But we were actually just talking about trying to get kayaks over there and maybe go down there and do some filming. He's making friends with the owners of the lodge down there. And I texted Frank from Hobie just to kind of get an idea if there was a dealer down in Panama, and which I then found out I could have just went to the Hobie website like an idiot, and I didn't do it. But yes, indeed, there is a dealer down in Panama for Hobie. So maybe perhaps we can make this thing happen. Maybe we can do a mini Panama boondoggle, like very mini. I don't know. Don't forget too, we've got the extreme kayak fishing tournament coming up soon. Let me pull that up real quick. Not soon, sorry, next year. Let's see, kayakfishing.com. When is it? It's scheduled for, dun, 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 dun. Where is it? Here it is. The tournament itself is scheduled for, I don't know. That's not good. Doesn't say. I don't think they've picked an actual date yet, which is strange because they're selling the packages already. But maybe if I scroll down further, it will show it. Yes, there you go. Thursday, April the 24th, 2014, it's the welcome reception and captain's meeting over in the Bahamas. So if any of you guys are in the chat room or you're listening to us live on the app, or you're going to listen to this later on in the podcast, and you want some information of probably one of the coolest fishing tournaments I think that has been put on yet, because it's in the Bahamas, and that's just kind of awesome. The ExtremeKayakFishing.com tournament series will be putting on a $5,000 jackpot, 4 days, 3 nights, all inclusive, called the Battle in the Bahamas. Packages range from $589 a person to, let's see, $560 a person, depending upon how many occupancies that you want to use, I guess, if you want a double, a triple, or a quad occupancy room. You can also bring an adult companion if you'd like to along with you. There's a charge for that, obviously, for the ferry trip and everything else. But it's a lot cheaper. So say if you're in the double occupancy package is $589. If you want to bring a guest with you, it's $389 for that guest. So for roughly $1,000, if you want to take a vacation with your wife or your best buddy or whatever, who doesn't like to fish for whatever reason, you can do that. And it's 3 nights, 4 days accommodations, first class round trip ferry transportation for kayaks, gear, and yourself. Round trip transportation from the port to the hotel. 2-day tournament entry fee. Welcome reception dinner includes beer. And then, of course, the awards dinner. So there you go. $589 a person. Not bad. Not bad at all. And then also, too, you're going to be fishing for said species like yellowfin tuna, blackfin tuna, dolphin, wahoo. Possibly you may have a shot at a billfish, maybe even a marlin. I don't know what you would do with a Bahamas blue marlin if you should hook one from your kayak. You'd look a lot like those barrels from Jaws, but it would definitely be interesting. And then there's grouper, snapper. There's grouper and amberjack that are in that same category as well. And if you want to fish just the reef portion, there's an additional, I think, $20 entry fee for that or $40 entry fee for that. And that would allow you to fish for the multitude of reef species that are there. And then there's a trash can slam, which is kind of funny because that includes a triggerfish for whatever reason. I don't think that a triggerfish is a trash can fish like a catfish or something, but we'll go with it. There you go. Pretty awesome, man. There's good things happening in the kayak world, just like and I lost Chip, just like out there at Vegas at ICAST, man. I don't know if you guys heard my show kind of reviewing over ICAST. I got to go out there this year out to Vegas, and the amount of kayak accessories and kayak manufacturers and, you know, the talk of kayaks around ICAST was pretty awesome, to say the least. I saw some really cool stuff, talked to some really cool people. When you start getting websites like bdoutdoors.com out of California to be super interested in kayaks, you know something's going on, something's really righteous, because those folks have over 100, I think it's 170,000 members on that website. So it's definitely one of the, if not the biggest, one of the biggest fishing forums and fishing websites on the planet. Pretty awesome. Again, the power pole was the love of my life out there at the show. I fell in love with that micro power pole. Love to have one on the back of the PA. Hopefully that'll happen soon. It's good things, man. Good things. But that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all I got. Appreciate you guys tuning in tonight. Chip, I'm sure we'll be back next Thursday. If you guys have any comments, questions, or concerns for me about fishing in the Space Coast area, feel free to get a hold of me either through Facebook. You can find me at Redfish Chuck on Facebook or just Charles Levi on Facebook. And hit me up on an email at redfishchuck@hotmail.com. My show airs Monday nights, 8:00, along with Alan Rylan. Hopefully he'll be well enough to join me this upcoming Monday. Thoughts and prayers are with you, buddy. Hope everything's good. And Brad from Sunjammers, appreciate all the support you show the kayak fishing community here in Florida and Kayak Fishing Radio. As I take a big swaller of water. That's right. Tonight's beverage of choice is H2O. So, with that being said, I'm going to do a little rundown of my sponsors and thank them real quick for everything that they do for me. And then we'll get on out of here. Once I find my list, because I actually wrote down a list, and it goes a little something like this. Hobie Kayaks, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs. Clear your deck for battle with Tackle Webs, folks. Of course, my good friend, Captain Mike Ortego, my brother from another mother over there at Tackle Webs. Without a doubt, the baddest tackle storage system for your kayak. It's very simple. It's a couple bungees. It's double-sided tape and some Velcro. Brad, if you don't have these things in your shop, brother, you need them. I'm sure you do. I know you do some work with the guys from Fishing Forward Radio and Mike Ortego and them. But the custom set that Mike put together for the Hobie Advantage seat is ridiculous. The ones that he did for the Hobie Outback as well are awesome. He's got them for the Diablo. He's got them for Jackson's. He's got them for I see that we don't yet. Yeah, get them things in there, man. You need them. Yeah, they're awesome. Check them out, tacklewebs.com. Tell Captain Mike that Redfish Chuck sent you over there. Rail Blazer and Yak Gear, Ego Nets, ENO, Bending Branches, Slayer Ink Lures, and of course KBB and KBB Outfitters. I'd like to thank all those folks for all their continued support in my endeavors in this industry, and we will see you out on the water. Take a kid fishing. They're the future of our sport. Trey and Logan, please, please, please get some sleep. Daddy needs it. And with that, we'll hit a little Yak Angler spot, then we'll hit some cool exit music, and we'll talk to you guys Monday night. Take it easy. God bless.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.